الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كل من عليها فان ويبقى وجه ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم كل من عليها فان But whatever there is on this earth will perish. It's funny, it's temporary, fleeting. وَيَبَقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ And only the noble face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the noble Zat and the being of Allah ta'ala will always remain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Zat is everlasting, is ever living, is eternal. ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's being is of azmat and izzat. In this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us to love. Every person has some object of love. But whoever we love, in this world, one day will be separated from our beloved. Angel Jibra'il alayhi salam, he once came to the Prophet and said that Ishma shi'ta fa'innaka mayyitun. That however long you want to stay in this world, you can live, but then one day you will be separated from this world, you will leave this world. وَأَحْبِبْ مَنْ شِئْتَ فَإِنَّكَ مُفَارِقُهُ That love whoever you want to love in this world, but one day you'll be separated from that beloved. So the muhabbatin, the love that we have in this world, the result will eventually be separation. No matter how pure and firm that muhabbat is, for example, the love there's between husband and wife, such a pure, strong love, like at the time of death, there is separation. One has to separate from their spouse. So the love of this, the loves in this world, eventually a person will be separated. So whoever makes makhluk their beloved, one day will be separated from that makhluk. And whoever makes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala their beloved, then one day a person will be joined with their beloved. So if a person has to love someone, why not love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then with the nisbat of Allah's muhabba, we love the makhluk as well. Not for the sake of our nafs, loving other people also for the sake of Allah. So those muhabbatin will also become part and parcel of the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala. There are some differences in loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and loving makhluk. When we say loving makhluk, we mean that love which is outside the fold of Islam, not those type of loves which Allah wants us to have. For example, the love between husband, wife, the love for the parents. These are muhabbatin which are nur, because these are the command of Allah. They become an ibadat. But those muhabbatin which are nafsani, which are unlawful, which are just because of a person's nafs and desires, those muhabbatin are called the love for makhluk. So one should have love for Allah, and then in the name of Allah we should have the love, the permissible loves in our heart. This muhabbat of makhluk, which is nafsani muhabbat, this brings zulmat in a person's heart. But Allah Ta'ala's muhabbat brings nur in a person's heart. With the muhabbat of makhluk, there is an alienation on the face of a person. Allah's muhabbat brings freshness on a person's face. Makhluk's muhabbat brings anxiety in a person's heart. Allah Ta'ala's muhabbat brings itminan in a person's heart. And the muhabbat of makhluk, the eventual end is separation. The muhabbat of Allah, the eventual result is person is joined with Allah. Then in our muhabbat of the dunya, we see that once the needs are fulfilled, they even forget who they are. And the other person has muhabbat as long as we need that other person. Sometimes even between husband and wife, there is complaints. Why? Because the wife, she says that he doesn't take care of this thing, he doesn't take care of that. So these worldly muhabbas, they are sometimes full of complaints. And even if this worldly love, the love for makhluk, if it flourishes, there has to be a balance on both the sides. Both the parties have to have love for the other at the same level. The same flame has to be ignited in both the hearts. That's the state of this worldly muhabbat, muhabbat of makhluk. Now understand the status of Allah Ta'ala's muhabbat for His people and how much Allah loves. It comes in a hadith that, oh my servant, when you come to me a handspan, then I come to you walking. I come to you an arm's length. And wa in atani yamshi, when you come to me walking, I come to you running. So this shows that Allah Ta'ala's love is more than that, more than our love. In makhluk, you need to have the same level of flame in both the hearts. But Allah is saying that whoever loves me, then I, when you come walking, I will come running. And whoever loves me, they reach a moment when Allah says that I become the ears of that person from which he hears. I become the eye from which he sees. I become his hands with which he holds. I become his feet with which he walks. This is the height of the muhabbat with Allah Ta'ala. Then there are some differences between loving Allah Ta'ala and loving makhluk, loving khaliq and loving makhluk. One difference is that loving makhluk ends up in separation. But loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala is baki. One day a person will be united with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Mawlana Rum rahmatullah alayhi would say that why should you love those who die? Who are fleeting. Ishq ba murda nabashat pa idar. That if you love these human mortals, this is not permanent love. This is fading, dying love. If you want to have ishq, if you want to love someone, love that being who's hayyu wa qayyum, who's everlasting, who's eternal. There's no death to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is al-baqi. Love that being who is al-baqi. Why do you love those who are al-fani, die were fleeting. Like Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he saw the star, he made dua. He said, I don't love these things which fade and die. So a person should also say that I want to love that being which doesn't fade, which doesn't die. I want to love that being who's Hayyu wa Qayyum, Allah Ta'ala, who's ever living, everlasting. Then another difference is that in having muhabbat for other people, many other people become jealous and envious. That's why if two people have love for each other, they will now also have envy. There will be other people envying them. And what's fascinating about Allah Ta'ala's love is that the more they love Allah, the more they will have love for each other as well. Allah Ta'ala's love is exempt from this accusation. All those loving Allah will have love among them as well. There's no envy at all, no jealousy. So therefore a person should try to get this love for Allah. And another difference is that in worldly muhabbat, we have to be the first. We have to initiate that muhabbat. But in our muhabbat with Allah Ta'ala, who initiates? Allah Ta'ala is the one who is first in that muhabbat. In Quran, Allah Ta'ala mentions that yuhibbuhum wa yuhibbunahu, that Allah loves them and then they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah loves us first and then people love Allah Ta'ala back. So Allah Ta'ala's mercy is first and then people love Allah because of that mercy. Then another difference is in our worldly love, we cannot bear competition. We cannot bear any competitor, any rival in love. No, people, they take promises from us that you cannot love anyone else. You have to love us, no one else. You cannot meet anyone else. You cannot have any relations with anyone else. This is what happens in muhabbat of makhluk, that they didn't want their beloved not to have any relationship with anyone, neither meet anyone, that you should just love them and no one else. But then look at Allah Ta'ala's muhabbat, that when Allah loves a person, it comes in a hadith that Ata Jibra'il, Allah Ta'ala calls Angel Jibra'il alayhi salam and says, Jibra'il, I love this person, so make an announcement in the heavens that all the angels should start loving this friend of Allah Ta'ala. And that announcement is made and all the angels to fall in love with that person. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Jibra'il alayhi salam to make a second announcement, that descend on this earth and make that same announcement. Our ears, we don't listen to it, but our hearts listens to that announcement. And then in the hadith, the Prophet said that Allah Ta'ala gives acceptance, qubul fil ard, gives qubuliyah, acceptance to that person on the face of this earth. And Allah Ta'ala pours love for him in the hearts of other people. So in worldly muhabbat for makhluk, we see that they just want to limit the love to themselves, one person. You can't love anyone else. You can't have any relationship with anyone else. You can't meet anyone else. Whereas when a person loves Allah Ta'ala and Allah Ta'ala loves them, Allah Ta'ala says that I love you, now my servant, everyone else will love you as well. That's why one should try to make Allah Ta'ala their beloved. And then there's also another fifth difference, is that all our dunyavi love, they're based on some motive. Between a love between parents and child, that's the strongest relationship. But there's also a motive there, some gharz, objective. Parents, they wish that our kids, they will take care of us in old age. When we will have needs, they will fulfill our needs. So there's a gharz. Relationship, husband, wife, there also, there's a motive behind that. Husband needs his wife, she needs her husband. Between a teacher and a student, there is also muhabbat. But that muhabbat is also, there is a motive. Students, they get ilm from their teacher. And teachers have to make sure that whatever they're teaching, it stays in their mind. So they are expecting ajr from Allah Ta'ala for their teaching. So still there is a motive. Any relationship you see in the dunya, you will see that all the worldly relations, there's some sake, there's some benefit, some intention, some motive behind it. But the relationship with Allah Ta'ala is a relationship where there is no motive. There is one relationship that is completely selfless, unselfish, no motive. And that is the relationship of Allah Ta'ala with His servants. And Allah Ta'ala's love for us is a selfless love, no gharz behind it. That's why it comes in a hadith where Allah Ta'ala says that, O my servant, Abdi, every person loves you for himself. And my servant, we love you for yourself. Every person loves you for himself, we love you for yourself. So Allah Ta'ala's love is selfless. So one should try then to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala their object of muhabbat. Now if you look, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a heart, and Allah ta'ala wishes that we should love Allah ta'ala with the full extent of our heart. This heart that Allah has given us is one heart, and this one heart is for the one love for Allah Ta'ala. When the Prophet ﷺ entered Medina Tayyibah, he gave a khutbah, and that khutbah he said that Ahibbullah min kulli kulubikum, that all believers love Allah Ta'ala with the full extent of your heart. Sometimes a person tends to love Allah partially because they have other loves in their heart as well. The Prophet ﷺ is saying that love Allah with all your heart. Hand yourself over to Allah. Fill your heart with His love. Submit your heart to Him until your heart is filled with Allah. In another riwayah, the Prophet ﷺ said that love Allah because of the blessings Allah has given you. The food and drink, these are blessings Allah has given us, so many ni'mate. We should be grateful, forever grateful to Allah for His blessings. If an animal loves his mohsin, benefactor, so much, then we are, after all, humans. We should be more grateful. And only humans are capable of loving. Humans are capable of loving because Allah Ta'ala has given us a heart. And it's this capacity of the heart that a person can love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, when a person loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so there are certain signs of this love. Loving Allah has certain signs. Our akabreen, the ulama, they've mentioned these signs, and we should try to identify and see whether those signs are present within us or not. This is, the love for Allah is the nucleus. All the other ibadat, they will circle around this love. And if this muhabbat for Allah is strong, then every ibadat will be strong. A person will lovingly, devotedly, longingly, passionately, they'll race to do ibadah. That's why this topic is very important today, that we try to increase this muhabbat of Allah and try to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make Allah Ta'ala our beloved. Allah says this in the Quran as well, that وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ, that those who have brought iman, they're extremely intense in their muhabbat for Allah. Actually, here in this ayat, Allah Ta'ala is not giving us a hukum. It's not sigha amr, it's not a command that have muhabbat for Allah. Allah is not saying that. Rather, Allah Ta'ala is giving us a khabar, information, that people of iman, they have this intense muhabbat of Allah. And the mufassirin, they have written a point here that look, those beings who are very beautiful, then they don't say to others that love me. If there is someone who's really beautiful, they won't say that love me. they will only say enough, they will only say this much, that people should know that we are so beautiful. People should know how beautiful we are. And when they know how beautiful we are, then they will not be able to live except that they love us. And the same thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this ayat, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, that those who have brought iman, those who know the husn of Allah, those who know the beauty of Allah, أَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ, they will not be able to remain except with this intense muhabbat of Allah. This muhabbat of Allah is an ajeeb muhabbat. This muhabbat, the fire of the muhabbat of Allah. Actually, the Mufassirin have written an interesting nukta. They say that the fire of the dunya and there is the fire of the Jahannam. So fire of the dunya is 70 times fearful. It's scared, 70 times more scared of this fire of Jahannam. Darti hai, is fearful of the fire of Jahannam 70 times. And his fire of Jahannam is 70 times more intense than the fire of the dunya. And then they say that the fire of Jahannam is terrified of the fire of the muhabbat of Allah in the heart of a believer. Subhanallah. The fire of Jahannam is terrified of the muhabbat, of the fire of the muhabbat of Allah in the heart of a believer. Hazrat Aqdas Thanvi Rahmatullah Allah has written that when a believer will be crossing the bridge on the day of Qiyamah, you know, Pul Sirat, so there will be fire, the flames of fire will be below him. And those flames of fire will become cold as a result of him walking on the bridge. So that fire will call out to this believer that Jizya mu'min fa'inna nuraka atfa'a nari, that quickly go, mu'min, pass quickly over me, your the nur in your heart, the nur in your heart, the muhabbat that you have in your heart is extinguishing the my fire, is extinguishing the fire of Jahannam. So this flame of Allah Ta'ala's muhabbat is ajeeb. This nur of Allah Ta'ala's muhabbat is ajeeb, that it can extinguish even the fire of Jahannam on the day of Qiyamah. So for every muhabbat, there are some signs. And similarly, having muhabbat for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this also has certain signs. So what are those signs? Number one is that when a person has muhabbat, you become restless in that muhabbat. There's a feeling of restlessness in one's heart. And this is what happens when a person has muhabbat for Allah. The lovers of Allah Ta'ala, they had this sifat inside them, that their hearts would become restless because they would be craving and missing Allah Ta'ala so much. Anyway, we miss each other in love stories, right? You will often hear this phrase, I love you, I miss you. So imagine what type of a feeling would it be if a person has this feeling for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That he tells Allah ta'ala that, Allah, I miss you. Allah, I love you. Person becomes sad to meet Allah. Person wants to talk to Allah. This is why when a person wishes to talk to Allah, this is what salah is. Namaz or salah, it's an excuse to talk to Allah Ta'ala, to meet Allah. That is why our elders used to pray salah on. They used to pray long salah. And then when they would be done with their farais, they would pray long nawafil. Why? Because they wanted to fulfill this craving for Allah. Their hearts were restless. They used to pray all night. Why? Because their salah used to become a means to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person can't settle for anything, right? So they just make salah a bahana. They make salah a bahana. We read that Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu anha, once it was a winter night, a long night, she made niyat of praying 2 rakat. And then there was so much maza, enjoyment that she was getting in her tarbiyat. She was reciting Quran with so much muhabbat that she kept on reciting Quran in that salah, kept on reciting, kept on reciting. And then when she completed her two rakah, she said salam. She saw that the time for Fajr is very near. So she raised her hands to make dua. And she said that Allah, I only had made niyat for two rakat. Allah, your nights are so short that they can't even contain two rakat of Fatima. They would have complaints about the night being too short. Their heart would want that, Allah, I want to do more ibadah. I want to worship you more. Like sometimes you see when our hearts are attached to someone in the dunya, our hearts, you can't forget that person. And if, let's say, you get a phone call from that person, then you say that I want to speak to that person, just leave me alone. I just want to be alone. So this is exactly how the Sahaba Ikram were, that they wanted to just talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and continue talking to Allah ta'ala. They didn't want to be disturbed by anything. So there were two Sahaba who the Prophet ﷺ had made them a guard, that they were supposed to guard the Muslim, the post, right? They were guarding the Muslim post. So one of them said that, look, we have to guard. So then why not pray Salah? So I'll guard and you can pray Salah. So there's one person, he made niyat to praying two rakat. And he said, no, he said that you can go to sleep, I will guard. They were taking turns, right? So one Sahabi said, I'm going to sleep. And the other Sahabi said that I'm going to stand up and I'm going to guard the defense. Now the Sahabi who was standing up to guard the defense, he made this niyat, that if I'm already standing, why not make niyat of praying Salah as well? So he made niyat to praying two rakah. So meanwhile, the enemy attacked them. An arrow struck that Sahabi who was praying Salah. And eventually blood also started coming out. Then another arrow struck. Again, more blood started to come out. And that Sahabi was praying Salah, praying Salah, praying Salah. And then he had to very quickly complete that Salah. And then he woke the other Sahabi up and said that, their people are attacking, so we should also respond. But then he also said another sentence. He said to him that I was reciting Quran in my Salah, and if I did not have the fear of failing my responsibility, I would have continued to bear these arrows one after another, one after another, but I would not have said Salam till I had completed Surah Kahf. Imagine how much enjoyment they would be getting from their tilawat. Why? Because they had this love for Allah. This love for Allah comes through remembrance of Allah, loving Allah Ta'ala. Then the second sign for the love of Allah is that an ashik, a lover of Allah, will indulge themselves in salah, in sujood most of the time. You'll see that such a person is engaged in nawafil and they'll remain in that state, making dua to Allah. Sajda. Right, in dunya also you must have seen that when there's someone, when you love someone in the dunya, they're making a constant effort to see them one time more, one more time, one more time, finding constantly excuses so that they can see that person one more time. We see, right? So in the same way, the people who love Allah Ta'ala, they're also searching for excuses to meet Allah Ta'ala, to greet them, to say salam, to look at their face, to talk to them. The lovers have exactly this kafiyat for Allah Ta'ala. And how is this kafiyat fulfilled? Their salah becomes an excuse. They stand on the musalla and they make niyat of two rakat nafil. And when they're making ibadat, it's as if they're looking at their mahbub-e hakiki. Pray, like Prophet ﷺ said, that pray raka, pray, make ibadah, and ta'bud Allah ka'annaka tara, as if you see Allah. So they make salah as if they're looking at their mahbub-e hakiki. And in their imagination, if they're not able to attain that state, they know that Allah is looking at you. And they would think that Allah is looking at us, and that would give itminan to their heart. Then their anxiety, their restlessness would go away. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Jannat. We can see Allah ta'ala in Jannat. But If we make salah, if we work on our salah, person can get the joy of seeing Allah Ta'ala even in this dunya, in this ibadat of salah. Allahu Akbar Kabira. So namaz becomes an excuse to meet Allah Ta'ala. I'll give you an example. We have seen this a few times, you know, that when a person plans to get married and they become a groom. Now in his own imagination, he's becoming a groom many times before he actually becomes the groom. In his own imagination, he's becoming the dulla. Or you can say a dulan, right? The dulan, she will be thinking. In her own imagination, she'll be becoming the dulan. So the dulla will be thinking to himself that on the wedding day, I'll wear this. And then on the reception day, I'll wear this. And he thinks that this will be my attire for the next day. And I will talk in a certain way to my wife. This salah that a person prays is also like a state of imagination before the meeting with Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has also said that, oh my servant, my meeting with you is promised in Jannat. But my muhabbat is making you restless and you want to meet me in the dunya as well. So the restlessness of the heart will go away when you stand in salah. If you, whenever you feel in some restlessness, just pray 2 rakat. And this is how you can meet me and you can put your heart at peace. That's why it comes in a hadith that when a person recites Surah Fatiha and they say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah Ta'ala replies, Hamidni Abdi, that my person has recited my hamd. Then he recites the next ayah, Allah Ta'ala replies. All of this is like a conversation that is taking place. A person is meeting Allah Ta'ala in a state of salah. You're having a conversation with Allah Ta'ala. Once there was a husband and wife who were newly married, and they decided, it was this wedding night, first night. So they both are pious, so they decided that why shouldn't we begin our marital life by praying 2 rakat. So both made intention of praying 2 rakat. Husband was in front, the wife, she was behind. Both were praying their 2 rakat. Wife, she prayed her 2 rakat quickly, and then she was waiting for her husband to complete. But the husband, mashallah, he continued to pray, continued to pray, continued to pray until it was time for Fajr. And then he realized that, oh, this was my marriage night. So he said sorry to her and said that, I didn't realize this, that you were waiting for me. I got that realization did not come to me. Anyway, I'll go pray Fajr in the masjid and then I'm going to come back and then we can start our marital life. Khair, he went to the masjid to pray Fajr Salah. After praying Fajr, you know, his friends were there. So his friends started teasing him because they knew this was your night. So they asked him that, how was your marriage night? And he was silent. Then again they said, and he was silent. This was a time, this was not a period of lying, right? You could lie and just joke about that. This was a good zamana. So they were teasing him to tell us, how was your night? And he was silent. And then when he realized that they will not leave me alone, I have to give some reply. So he said to them that, I swear by Allah Ta'ala, I had just made niyat of 2 rakat, but the thought of my wife left me, and I spent the whole night just praying those 2 rakat. When one has muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala, then this is how one enjoys their ibadat. He should also ask Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala for muhabbat. Then, the Mawlana Yahya Rahmatullah Alayhi mentions that he used to do a very long sajda. So someone asked him that, Hazrat, you do such a long sajda, what's the reason? He said, when I do my sajda, I feel as if I've placed my head at the feet of my beloved and I don't want to raise my head up again. They would get so much lazzat in sajda that it's very difficult to describe even. Then a third sign is that a lover of Allah Ta'ala will want to have these deep conversations with Allah at night time. This is also an ishara. What you want to spend time alone at night. so that you can do raaz or niyaz ki baatein. You can have these secret talks with your beloved, secret late night talks. In the dunya, you must have seen that people are having an affair. So they call each other at 2 a.m. in the morning, 3 a.m. in the morning. Their WhatsApp messages and messengers are all stay up all night. That love that they have, it does not let them go to sleep even. In a similar way, the lovers of Allah, they have the same feeling for Allah Ta'ala. Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says that the Prophet ﷺ used to pray at night. And once he made such a long sajda that I began to fear that maybe the Prophet ﷺ has passed away. And then I held the little finger of his toe and moved it to see if the Prophet ﷺ was still alive. And imagine how long would that sajda be for Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha to think in such a way. So this is the kind of sajda Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi would make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at night. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, he spent 40 years praying Salat-e-Fajr with the wudu of Isha. 40 years praying Salat-e-Fajr with the wudu of Isha. This was his habit. And he would stay up all night in worship of Allah Ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. And once there was a very pious woman by the name of Rabia Basriya, and she used to worship Allah Ta'ala a lot during the night. She would finish her Isha Salah and then she would come to the roof and then make pray Salah and then make dua to Allah Ta'ala as well. And she would make very ajeeb, very beautiful du'as. She would say that, Ya Allah, the stars have come out, the eyes have gone to sleep, all the kings have closed their gates and doors, and every lover is with their beloved. Oh Allah, I'm here before you. Now what does that mean? That you are my beloved. Allah, you are my beloved and I'm here before you. Every lover is with their beloved. Oh Allah, I'm here before you. I'm standing before you. Have we ever prayed our night tahajjud salah with such a condition, with such a kafiyat? When one has love, then these words, they come out. Otherwise, these words cannot come out if a person doesn't have love for Allah Ta'ala. These words are a proof that she had muhabbat of Allah in her hearts. And then she would complete her ibadah. And at the time of Fajr, she would say that, Oh Allah, this night has passed by and the dawn has started. I wish I would know if my night's ibadah was accepted so I could congratulate myself. Or if it was rejected, then I could do condolence, taziyat to myself. These words can only come from a heart which has muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala. And then she would say something quite extraordinary, very ajeeb, very ajeeb. She used to say that, Oh Allah, I swear by your izzat, even if you turn me away from your door, I will not leave your door because I have love for you in my heart. This is a sentence, if we, when we are in solitude and all alone, we can repeat this sentence and we can feel the lazzat of this sentence. Say, Oh Allah, I swear by your izzat, even if you turn me away from your door, I will not leave your door because I have love for you in my heart. So this is love that a person has. They attach themselves to the door of Allah. And then Allah Ta'ala opens that door and Allah Ta'ala showers that person with His mercy. Imam Razi rahmatullah alayh, he would say, there is no pleasure during the day except Allah through your remembrance. And there is no pleasure in the night Allah except by secretly conversing with you. Secretly talking with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, you know, we like to sleep. Sleep becomes beloved to us. But the people, the lovers of Allah ta'ala, they would wait for that night time. Allama Abdul Wahab Sharani rahmatullah has said that our early Muslims would wait for the night to come in such a manner when the groom waits for his bride to come. they're waiting like that. They used to be so busy in munajat and duas with Allah Ta'ala at night. Allah says in Quran, Kanu qalilan min al-layli min al-layli yahja'un wa bil ashari hum yastaghfirun. They would sleep little and then they would be making istighfar at the time of sahri. Then the fourth sign is that they would love to recite the Quran. They had this muhabbat for Quran, and subhanallah, you see that when you have love for someone, the mahbub will love to read the letters of their lover. Every beloved will love to read the letters of their lover. In dunya, if you receive a love letter, right, an email, an SMS, you read it, then you reread it, right? You do it 5, 10, 20 times, multiple times. And every time when you read that letter, it gives you pleasure, right? You derive pleasure every single time when you read that letter. You tell other people about that letter as well. In the same way, the lovers of Allah Ta'ala, they love the letter of Allah, which is the Quran of Allah. Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, Law tahurat qulubukum ma shabi'tum min kalamillah. That if your hearts were pure, you will never tire from reading the kalam of Allah. We'll continue reading. Those who have love for Allah, they have such a love for the kalam of Allah, they never tired from reading the Quran. They read Quran like me and you, we eat ice cream, where every scoop of ice cream gives us a pleasure and naya maza, joy. That's how they would derive joy and maza from every single verse of the Quran. Hazrat Mas'ad bin Qudam rahmatullah says that I once entered the masjid and I saw a person praying and he was reading some Quran and I liked his qirat. So I started listening to him until he completed one third of the Quran. And I thought that now he will do ruku. But he did not do ruku until he had finished one half of Quran. And then I thought that now he will do ruku. But still he did not do ruku, and in that one rakah he completed the entire Quran. And when he completed his salah and said salam, I saw his face, and it was the face of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah. In one rakah they would complete the entire Quran. Our own Shaykh mentions that I've met people who had this habit that they would recite one Quran every day. One Quran every day. Their Quran would be on their tongue. Their tongue would be moving. And they would be doing the work, household chores or other work. And whenever they would get free time, they would be reciting Quran. Yani these were people who would be doing everything, leading a normal life. What needs to be done, they were doing that. Married, work, responsibilities, students, teaching, studying. But despite those things that all of us have, they had the habit of completing one Quran every day. They would start the Quran after Fajr, and by the time of Asr, they would have completed their Quran. And these are not stories of the past. Even today, in Ramadan, in Aitikaf, in the last 10 days, we get to hear stories about people. In 10 days, they completed 10 Quran. MashaAllah. And some of them, they're ghair-e-hafiz, people with jobs, people with work, people who read Nazara, they open Quran and then they read, line by line. Those types of individuals, they have a habit, mashallah, in Ramadan, last 10 days, they would start at Tahajjud and they would end before Sehri, one Quran, mashallah, in one day. There were many young men, we know of such people, that who have this habit, young men who have a habit of reciting one Quran and one day in the last 10 days of Ramadan. So how can a person get this jazba? This is the muhabbat of Allah. When you have this muhabbat of Allah, then muhabbat of Allah makes it easy. Imam Shafi rahmatullah, he would recite 16 Quran in 16 days. You know, today we enjoy our novels and stories and, right? Just like the way we enjoy our readers' digests and fiction stories and love stories and crime stories, the reason why we love those stories is because of our heart is stuck with those muhabbat, nafsani muhabbat. For the people of Allah Ta'ala, their heart is filled with Allah. That's why they love the kalam of Allah. That's why they love the kalam of Allah Ta'ala. That kalam of Allah Ta'ala gives them joy. It gives them maza. The whole Quran is like a love letter from start to finish. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this Quran so that we can use the Quran to get this muhabbat of Allah ta'ala in our hearts. Then the next sign is that a person who loves Allah ta'ala, they enjoy the obedience of the Prophet as well. And another sign is that a person who loves Allah, they don't get tired from praying. If Quran or Ibadah or Salah, it will refresh them. They will be very tired, about to drop dead on their bed. But then Salah will be, Quran will be recited, they'll have to pray Taraweeh, and they'll become completely fresh, as if they're not tired at all. This is Muhabbat, what Muhabbat does. You must have seen this in the dunya as well, that when there is a mother, she has a child, she has a kid, 24/7 she is running after her child. And she sacrifices her sleep, her food, her own aram, right? And then when it's nighttime, she feels tired, so she goes to the bed to sleep. And then if at that time the child wakes up, again she is willing. She gets up, sacrifices her sleep, and then again, willing to do, willing to help, willing to assist, willing to take care. This is exactly how the lovers of Allah Ta'ala are. That they have so much love for Allah Ta'ala that their fatigue, their tiredness, all of that goes away. Then another sign is that those who have muhabbat for Allah Ta'ala, they try to gift wrap their ibadat and they present those ibadat to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a very beautiful way. The way you can understand this is when persons sometimes get married and you have to send some basket of fruits or chocolates or sweets, right? So you gift wrap it in a very nice manner. And someone asks that, why are you gift wrapping it? Why are you putting these, you know, nice gifts and bows and right cards? Is it because, you know, it's a hadiyah of love. It's a gift of love. It's a token of love. Exactly in the same way, the lovers of Allah Ta'ala, they beautify their ibadah. They package their ibadah. They gift wrap their ibadah with their muhabbat. That we are presenting this as a gift to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we want to present what is a very good quality, a good quality gift. They give it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they improve the quality of their ibadah as well. And Ma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she had some dirham and she was washing those dirham. So the Prophet asked her that, Humaira, what are you doing? She said that, Ya Rasulullah, I want to spend these dirham in the path of Allah Ta'ala. That's why I'm washing them. So the Prophet asked her, Humaira, why are you washing them? She said that, Ya Rasulullah, I've heard from your blessed tongue that when a person spends some money in the path of Allah, before that money reaches the hand of the beggar, it reaches into the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ever since I heard this statement from you, I made a habit of washing my dirham and my coins when I give in sadaqah, so that when this reaches the hands of my Malik, it is pure, it is clean. They would give, this is muhabbat. Then a person tries to gift wrap their ibadah and do it in such a way which is so pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then another sign is that a person becomes greedy for the zikr of Allah. They can never have enough. The heart is always yearning for the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. They try to free up their deins and so that they can do more and more zikr of Allah, always wanting to sit in the remembrance of Allah, wishing to get an opportunity to sit and think about Allah. They're haris about the zikr of Allah. Whatever time they, whenever they have any free time, they remember Allah. In one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said to a sahabi, they try if you can that your tongue should always be moist with the zikr of Allah. And whoever does the zikr of Allah, that person, Allah loves that person. That person increases in the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala. Initially, a person might have to force themselves to remember Allah, but then later they receive such a maqam where the zikr grabs hold of them. Even if they want to forget Allah, they're not able to forget Allah. Imam Rabbani Rahmatullah has written a very ajeeb thing. He says that a person reaches this maqam of fana, this maqam where they're so deeply drown themselves in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, that now the zikr becomes an inseparable part of their heart. Even if they want to forget Allah, they're not able to. If you give them 1,000 years and ask them to forget Allah for one moment, they're unable to. Because they're always remembering Allah. They're always thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their heart is attached to Allah Ta'ala. Like imagine a mother, she is thinking about her son. Let's say her son, she lost her son, khuda na khasta, right? So she would always be thinking about her son. She is eating food, drinking water, talking to someone, but in the back of her heart, she is thinking about her son. Exactly in the same way, the lovers of Allah, they might be engaged in the dunya, doing different things in the dunya, but their heart is always remembering Allah Ta'ala. Their heart doesn't want to remember Ghairullah. Their heart wants to remember Allah, doesn't want to remember Ghairullah. They become bored and agitated when Ghairullah is being remembered. They don't like that. They're searching for that company which reminds them of Allah. They want to move away from the dunya, the zikr of the dunya. Actually, once there was a young man who came to Rabia Basriya Rahmatullah Alayh, and he started to explain to her that, you know, I don't like the dunya, I hate the dunya, I'm fed up with the dunya, and mentioned like 4 or 5 sentences like that about the dunya. So after some time, Rabia Basriya, she asked the man to get up and leave. And he said that, no, I, you know, why? She said that, I feel that you really love the dunya. Why are you even talking about the dunya so much in front of me? So these are people, they said that they don't care about the gold and the glitter of the dunya. They used to get so much itminan and joy and sukoon from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There were people who love to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another sign, the 9th one, is that they also like to spend in the way of Allah with a very big heart. And by spending in the path of Allah, their heart gets contentment. Maza aata hai. Once Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, he sent 40,000 dirham to Maisha radiallahu ta'ala, which was a very pretty big amount at that time. And she ordered all the widows and the orphans of Medina Munawwara to come so that she could distribute the money amongst them. Now the women came, the kids came, the orphans came, and she started to distribute, and she distributed all of that money. And then her helper, she reminded Maisha that she was fasting. There's nothing in the house that she could break her fast with. So she asked that, you know, you should have given me some money so that I could at least fetch something from the market for you. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she politely replied that, oh, mujhe pehle batati, you could have reminded me earlier. This didn't even stay or occur in my mind. They had so much maza in spending, and they enjoyed spending in the path of Allah. May Allah ta'ala also make our hearts so big that we also enjoy spending in His way in such a manner. And the 10th and the final sign is that a person, they become the rafiq, the friend of Allah Ta'ala. They become the best friend of Allah. Like the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a few moments before he passed away, he made this statement that Allahumma ar-rafiqul a'la. That Allah, you are my friend, you are my best friend. Rafiqul a'la. Majnoon, he loved Layla. He was madly in love with her. He couldn't think of anything else other than her. One day, the father of Majnoon, he said that, you have embarrassed me in the society, in the community. Come with me. Let's go to Baytullah Sharif and make Toba of this love that you have for Layla. Khair, the father was insisting, so Majnoon said, "Theek, let's go." He went to Baitullah Sharif, and there he had the opportunity to hold the sheet, the Khane Kaaba, and then the Ghilafe Kaaba, and then he's making this dua. And he made this dua that, oh Allah, I make Tawbah for every sin that I've done, except for the sin of loving Layla. When the father heard this, he looked at his son, even more, is now even more anxious. So Majnun then made a second dua, that, oh Allah, that please never ever let go of this love of Layla from my heart, and please forgive the sins of that person, whoever says Ameen to my dua. So this is the love for makhluk, where you don't want the love of to leave the heart of a person. Then imagine what type of a love a person can have for the love for Allah Ta'ala. It's written in one of the books that someone saw Majnun in his dream when he had passed away, and asked him about his end, what happened. And Majnun said that my sins were a lot, but Allah Ta'ala liked my love so much that he forgave me. And Allah Ta'ala said that he will present me to the lovers as a threshold, as a standard of how one's love should be like. If I could love someone in the dunya so much, then why are we not able to love Allah Ta'ala so much? We are born, we are created to love Allah Ta'ala. So these are the signs of loving Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. These are actually the ways in which a person can love Allah Ta'ala. And when a person has this muhabbat of Allah, then a person is willing to sacrifice everything for the sake of Allah. I'll end with a few poetry. Someone said a very ajeeb couplet full of muhabbat of Allah. They said that, Wallahi ma tala'at. So, Wallahi ma tala'at shamsin wala gharabat illa wa anta fi qalbi wa waswasi. That, oh Allah, I swear by Allah Ta'ala that the sun has never risen, nor has the sun ever set, except that, oh my beloved, you are in my heart and you are in my thoughts. Wallahi ma tala'at shamsin wala gharabat illa wa anta fi qalbi wa waswasi wala jalastu ila qawmin uhaddisuhum illa wa anta hadisi bayna jullasi. And I swear by Allah Ta'ala that I've never sat in the company of my friends, but Ya Allah, O my beloved, that in those company of my friends, on my tongue was nothing except your zikr, except your remembrance. وَلَا هَمَمْتُ بِشُرْبِ الْمَاءِ مِنْ عَتَشٍ إِلَّا رَأَيْتُ خَيَالًا مِنْكَ فِي الْكَأْسِ. And oh my beloved Allah, that in a time when I'm extremely thirsty, I've never drank a glass of water, except that in that reflection of that water, I'm searching for your face. I'm searching for you in the reflection of that water. وَلَا ذَكَرْتُكَ مَحْزُونًا وَلَا كَرَبًا إِلَّا وَحُبُّكَ مَكْرُونٌ بِأَنْفَاسِ. And oh my beloved Allah, that in happiness or in sadness, I've never remembered you, except that Allah, your zikr was in my every breath that I took. This is the muhabbat that comes in a person's heart. That every breath there is muhabbat of Allah. Every word there is muhabbat of Allah. May Allah Ta'ala give us such a muhabbat. So this was Arabic, and I'll mention some Urdu as well, and then I'm going to translate this. So some poet, he said, that kyun aankh milayi thi क्यों आग लगाई थी, क्यों आंख मिलाई थी, क्यों आग लगाई थी. अजीब कपलेट. दैट ओ अल्लाह, व्हाई डिड यू लुक एट मी, व्हाई डिड यू इग्नाइट दैट फ्लेम. फर्स्ट अल्लाह तआलाज आंख, अल्लाह तआला लुक्स, अल्लाह तआलाज ग्लैंड्स एंड गेज फॉल्स, एंड देन अ पर्सन लव्स अल्लाह तआला बैक. युहिब्बुहुम व युहिब्बुनहु. सो द पोएट इज सेइंग दैट अल्लाह, व्हाई डिड यू put that flame of muhabbat in my heart? Why did you look at me with that gaze of muhabba? Then ab rukh ko chupa baithe karke mujhe deewana, kyun aankh milayi thi, kyun aag lagayi thi, ab rukh ko chupa baithe karke mujhe deewana. Yani when there is fire in my heart for you, now Allah, you have kept yourself away from me. This is a beautiful couplet. When a person is feeling sad and alone, sad and you feel constricted in your heart, this is a couplet that a person can recite to Allah Ta'ala to get enjoyment. That kyun aankh milayi thi, kyun aag lagayi thi, ab rukh ko chupa baithe karke mujhe deewana. And the last one is even more beautiful. Kya lutfo mahshar mein main shikwe kiye jaun, kya lutfo mahshar mein main shikwe kiye jaun, wo hans ke kahe jaye deewana hai deewana. That Allah, what joy will there be on the day of Qiyamah, that I keep complaining to you, and Allah, you respond and you say that, don't worry, he is my lover, he is my lover. This is the kayfiyat, that Allah will never back off from this love for Allah. Every day I will get a new desire, a new wish, a new joy, a new himmat. I'll keep on loving Allah Ta'ala, I'll keep on loving Allah Ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala also grant us this truest muhabbat, this ni'mat of muhabbat. This is that ni'mat which the Prophet ﷺ taught us, taught du'as, that we should make this du'a to get this muhabbat in our heart. Imagine how incredible this ni'mat would be, that the Prophet ﷺ is teaching us a du'a, how to get this ni'mat in our heart. Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbaka wa hubba man yuhibbuk. That, O Allah, I ask you that you increase me in my love for you and in my love for those people who love you. Allahumma jal hubbaka أحب إلي من نفسي وأهلي ومالي وولدي ومن الماء البارد على الزمأي. والله, I ask you that you make my muhabbat for you more intense than the muhabbat that I have for my own self, than I have for my family, than I have for my children, than I have for anything else. اللهم اجعلني أحبك بقلبي كلي. That Allah, enable me that I can love you with the full extent of my heart, with the entirety of my heart. Allahumma as'aluka shawka ila liqa'ik wa lazzata nazri ila wajhik al-kareem. Oh Allah, I ask you that you grant me a shawk, a passion to meet you on the day of Qiyamah. Wa lazzata nazr ila wajhik al-kareem. And the sweetness, the pleasure of looking at your noble face on the day of Qiyamah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us with this muhabbat. Surely these days when we should ask Allah Ta'ala for his muhabbat, and then see how Allah Ta'ala will fill our hearts with this love. There are many people who ask Allah Ta'ala for cars. There are many people who ask Allah Ta'ala for business. There are many people who ask Allah Ta'ala for spouse, for wealth. And very few people are left who ask Allah Ta'ala from Allah Ta'ala, who wake up in the middle of the night and they ask Allah that, Ya Allah, we want your muhabbat. Very few people who make Allah Ta'ala their goal. And if today, inshallah, we can also make this our intention, that, Ya Allah, we ask you that we have gathered here to get this muhabbat of you. People gather for different purposes. People gather, people go, people travel for different objectives. Very few people are left who travel in order to get the muhabbat of Allah, who who meet in order to get the muhabbat of Allah, who gather to get the muhabbat of Allah. We can present this amal to Allah and ask Allah Ta'ala that Allah accept this amal from us. And Allah, in return, we ask you that you fill our hearts with your muhabbah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this intention. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us his truest, his intense, his extreme muhabbat in our hearts. May Allah ta'ala enable us to live a life of muhabbah, to die on this muhabbah, to be raised up on this muhabbah. May Allah ta'ala include our names among his lovers, among his beloveds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the tips of our head to the soles of our head, to the soles of our feet, fill this muhabbat within us, in our zahir, in our batin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ashaddu hubba lillah wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhana rabbil alameen wa hamd allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.